Well, a very good evening and thanks for tuning in to Terrace Talk here on Monday evening again with Donal Barry and with Richard until 8 o'clock this evening. Of course, we're going to be looking back at that Garvey Super Value Senior Football Championship that seems to be going on forever though at this stage. We're all trying to amble as quickly to the final. We'll know that in the first hour in the company of John Kennedy, Liam Broston and Andrew Moynihan will be there as well. And in the second hour this evening, we chat to the crew behind this year's Training with the Stars in Ada St. Francis Special School there in Beaufort, and we'll check in with Simone O'Shea of St. Paul's Women's, as well as Lynn Jones, of course. And they're, I suppose, heading to the Premier League now this year, a big test ahead for them. And we'll also talk to Killarney's new signing as well, Mika Blackwell, for St. Paul's, of course, one of a number of Kerry sides getting ready, of course, for the basketball season. Now, if you want to get in contact with us, and plenty of you have already, this evening, 066-712-3666 on the phone and 083-300-3300 on WhatsApp, or you can text on that as well. A lot of comments coming in during the week to us on those games, particularly yesterday, of course. A lot of people talking about penalties and missed penalties and the whole lot. We'll talk about that as well. A lot of people too want to congratulate the Kerry ladies. 15 All-Star nominations is absolutely fantastic, and we'll be delighted to have Niamh Carmody, of course, among the guests after 7 o'clock as well, and we'll chat about that as well. And I suppose we better chat about the big lady story that's been breaking all day and all evening and the whole lot. And I'd like to tell people, well, it's been resolved. It's amazing. Liam Broston sits down.
Donal's at the starting it.
Donal's
at the starting it, people.
Liam Broston's going to be the new Kerry manager. No, the other problem that needs to be solved at the moment, the Bonsecours Senior and Intermediate Ladies Finals. And this is to inform you that the following details are final on the 6th Sunday of October. Doesn't change. The Intermediate Final, which was scheduled for a bit earlier in the day, has been pushed back to 4:30 in Ossinsack Park. So Scarty Glen versus MKL Gales. And the senior final, Southern Gales versus Castle Island Desmonds at 6:30 in Ossinsack Park under lights, which should make for a fantastic day because the first game of the day is East Kerry and St. Cairns. So a triple header, everybody working together, everybody has everything resolved. And it's amazing what a small bit of communication can do when people kind of communicate with each other as well. It did, John Kennedy, have the making of a bit of a mess this morning, but I suppose in all these situations, people behind the scenes having a chat together and working things out, this is the way things should be.
Yeah, that's what it's about, Donald, really, you know. And to be fair, look, the CCC, they couldn't name venues until after the games were played this weekend. Mm-hmm. Then I suppose they have to try and facilitate clubs, maybe should they play them in Killarney or in Tralee or whatever. But common sense prevailed, look, and obviously there was a bit of communication. That's what it's all about. In every walk of life, if you don't communicate, you're in trouble. And I think that all's in, welded in as well, and it is great to see the ladies getting their day. Because in fairness, you know, you'd hear the negative vibes today that, you know, well, the men are getting the pitch and the ladies aren't, and that's not true, because, you know, it's not so long ago since Kerry played Meath and the ladies up in Ossinsack Park, and it was in the middle of the hurling championship, and that problem was resolved. Mm-hmm. So it's about the people in the right places sitting down and coming to an agreement, and I think this is what has happened here, and that's great.
Mm-hmm. Like all situations, Liam, I suppose it's maybe the people that put the fuel on the fire rather than the people that start the fire sometimes, you know, add more than they need to maybe to it.
Yeah, but look, it's sounded like it was just a bit of miscommunication between both sides at the start of it, and we kind of knew, even when I was talking to John earlier today, that it was going to be resolved, because it's a big day for the ladies football. Mm-hmm. We've all been very good at, mm-hmm, promoting the ladies football, and you will see how well they've gone in the last couple of years. But it was something that I think our chairman and our the chairwoman with the LGFA in, yep, Kerry as well got together, and yep, you know, I won't say bent heads together, but got together, and there was always going to be a good outcome. There was never going to be anyone put into a haggard to play a final.
And it doesn't put people back too much. I mean, no, they've come to a solution, they've pushed it back a couple of hours, which I'd imagine might even be more suitable than maybe indeed.
It's a great day for the St. Kieran's and the Castline district, because you've got St. Kieran's senior men playing, and you have Scarty Glen and you have Desmond's. So we'll might have to tint out there for
we
the whole day.
It's because St. Cairns wouldn't play some other day. So all the rumours
are all going to tint out there now.
Languages, I say.
Dan Carney can't speak to each other for at least a week, you know, because Southern Gales and Castle Island Desmonds. We wish Dan the very best to look, of course, in charge of Castle Island Desmonds. And that has the makings of a fantastic final, as does the intermediate final, to be fair. Scarty Glen have been knocking at the door really hard for the last number of years, and they're playing MKL Gales. Scarty Glen, of course, defeating Cork Aguin in the semi final, the Louis Louise Murray Hurtig, Cork Aguin, of course. So they're going in there in good form. And of course, there's also a number of other ladies' finals probably scattered around the weekend as well. There's the junior final, the junior B and C final as well. I know Kilcommon are even in a final. We'll be all going and supporting that. Before we bounce on to the football, the other big breaking news, and it's all breaking news from the ladies' world. Dara Long, Declan Quinn, Liam. Something tells me it's a surprise, but then maybe it's not really a surprise. Five and a half long years. I mean, they always wanted to get over that line. I suppose maybe in their own heads they get there sooner, but you know, they persevered, they got there, got to the promised land. They owe Kerry absolutely nothing at this stage.
Absolutely nothing, and they've brought Kerry ladies football to a level where I hope whoever comes in next can carry it on, because they have high standards. They're after getting to the top of the mountain. They want to keep up there now. But yeah, look, they're both two young lads with young families as well, so it's a big commitment. So last year there was a few ifs and buts last year, but I think that drive to win it was in them last year, whereas they have it won now, and they probably sat down and said, look, we've 5 years of a long road done, you know. So it's I wish them well, and whatever endeavour they go at next, and I'm sure they'll pop up somewhere. But they owe Kerry nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. John Kennedy, the job now, is going to attract a lot of people. It's a headline job now. You're taking over the All-Ireland champions. Does that make it even a more difficult job, maybe?
It does, because the expectation is there now, Donald. Mm-hmm. You know, the lads, first of all, like to agree with Liam, great job. You know, it would have been easy to walk away last year, even in defeat, but they didn't. They went back. They felt there was one there, and there was, and it was brilliant, and led by great captain Niamh Carmody, and, you know, great to see Louise getting that medal. Now, they're up there to be beaten, and it's a tough act to follow. Everything was probably put into this past year to win it, and it'll have to be repeated and go maybe a step better again. Yeah. But the talent is there, a lot of youth coming through, and hopefully all the panelists involved, a lot of experience there. You need a good mix, and certainly the platform is there, but it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, and of course they've been in the last three All-Ireland finals. I mean, it takes a lot to get to the All-Ireland final. They lost two, they won the third one. And Liam, final question, definitely not throwing your hat in the ring, no?
No, don't. I'd miss you if I threw my hat in the ring.
Because yourself and John,
no, because he'd only be pulling the secrets out of me if it was in the air.
Fair play. Well, we'll keep that open, and when we find out who is the new manager, and I suppose that process will be put in place soon enough as well. And listen, a big thank you to Declan Quill and Dara Long for all they've done, because to be fair to them, over the last number of years they've kind of always opened that door, the PR side of things as well. They understood the game very early on, that it was important to, I suppose, get the PR working, get the team up and running, and you know, they got there over the line. I mean, they closed over the 30 years. I suppose we'll stay on the St. Cairns team. St. Cairns versus Spa.
Yeah, I suppose many would call the dark horse. Cairns are into the quarterfinal, defeated Spa 112-119. I suppose it's a game that both teams probably had opportunities to grasp the win, but I think Cairns, just on the final stretch, they wanted it that bit more. And I suppose a crucial kind of stat is the fact that both teams were level 1-9 apiece on the 44th minute, but Cairns shoved on to get the next 3 points unanswered and won the game. They came firing from the blocks from the start. They had 2 points inside a minute, and from early indicators you might take it would be a long day for Spa, but no, they kept back, and Evan Crone and Dan Dunhu were really to the fore there for Spa, and they had it back to a point when they scored a goal in the 17th minute. Owen Cronin, who played a neat 1-2 with David Spillane finished it. Spa took the lead, but only 5 minutes later Cairns had a penalty. They got a goal, Adam Barry scoring there for Cairns, ended Spa's celebrations, and got Cairns right back into that game. It kind of remained and tuck, and in the second half, I suppose the sending off of Isaac Brosnan for Cairns could have spelled disaster for them, but it was a real test of their mettle. They remained in the contest, and it was a superb final quarter. They really pushed on the end. I mentioned to Philip O'Connor in centre forward, I thought he was superb, and yeah, Cairns through. Spa will be disappointed maybe at times that they didn't take the opportunity to win the game, but it's a good Cairns team, and they advance to the quarters.
John Kennedy, I suppose we talk about districts and we talk about clubs and the different struggles they have. One of the things I noticed with Spa the last day, they had 23 players. I mean, they're playing senior championship football. They have so many bodies missing. It could have been very easy for them to be kind of rolled out the door, but they didn't. And the fact that they stayed in that game and came back into the game and they were level of 1-9 all, it kind of shows that if they had those couple of extra bodies, they probably would be at a higher level.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. William Hammer's getting the maximum out of the lads. You know, no excuses from him.
Yeah.
Some great leaders there, like said Dan Dunhoe, Michael Foley, Evan Cronin, you know, Keane Tobin up front getting the scores. They dug deep. You know, against a fancied Cairns team, to be fair, always a team that Liam would know better than me. They're always well prepared, in spite of its short time frame, and a lot of talent there. And but you know, a good win for Cairns. They kicked the last 3 points without reply. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sean O'Connell in the middle of the field, very impressive.
Yeah.
He's continuing that for him.
He caught an amount of ball, old style fielding it, and he had that little bit of a burst on as well. Eye-catching enough maybe to move on to something else? Or
eye-catching enough, you know, I think he spent a year more maybe up in Tipperary. And, you know, very consistent. You know, Philip O'Connor also, Luca Brosnan, Brian Leonard, you know, Paul Welsh, Adam Barry, they have a lot of very good players, and you know, they're there in merit, and they dug out the victory in a tough encounter.
The reward, of course, is Kerry. Sometimes maybe it's nice to play a team that you've played before, is it?
Yeah, and you're going in as completely an underdog. And East Kerry, you know, it wasn't too long ago when St. Kieran's rattled them above here during the COVID times.
We're very close a number of occasions.
Exactly, yeah. Like we said here, was it last week, that look, Kieran's are never too far away from most teams. It's just maybe coming down the end, or you could say there may be that little bit short of scoring power up front. I thought maybe the game last day, it wasn't their best performance, but they dug out a performance. No, Spa had chances, Mike Foley and Dan O'Donoghue were excellent, like John said. But Philip O'Connor, he kicked two worldly points in the second half off the side of the boot. You know, when Cairns needed scores. Defensively, they were solid. They held Spa scoreless for the last 20 minutes. You know, so they were decent enough back there. But do they have enough of power up front to outscore East Kerry? That's
Midfield pairing, Tadhg Brick, Sean O'Connell. I mean, they're going to come up against something that they haven't come up against in any game so far.
Yeah.
Where they're going to face East Kerry at the middle of the field. Is that a big task for them?
It's a huge task. But that's for any team that's out there. You're meeting the county champions. You're meeting 15 outstanding players and 7 or 8 subs that will come in as well, you know, that you can pick from. So it should be a game that you'll be looking forward to get into and see what way you could have a go at them. Brian Leonard and David Clifford, always a good old battle as well.
Micheál Reedy is another player, you know, that for the last number of years I think is at a level as well. I mean, he was quite impressive the last day as well. He won't be out of place playing.
He won't be out of place in the two McKelligates and you know. And
the twins, that's right.
Yeah, then also, yeah, Cairns have a nice young team. Look, they're after winning the minor county championship, so they're building. But and I think there's great credit due to the management team and Dave Curtin, the manager or the chairman, who's kind of putting the foundations in place now for young people. If we look at that team, it's a young team, young Saints, Cairns team. So there's time to build there. But this is going to be a real test now next week for them.
Yeah, and I think keep an eye on Oran O'Neill as well. As far as he's only 18 years old, he's blown the same as well. He played midfield the last day, a good player in the making as well. So Spa are out, St. Cairns are in the next round, and they're in the next round with Rathmore versus Shannon Rangers.
A real strong Shannon Rangers side losing out to Rathmore in that game. I suppose it's great to see Shannon Rangers competing again, only losing by 5, but I suppose the bodies that Rathmore are losing now, despite getting the win, might be a concern for them. Down Keane Dineen, Brendan O'Keefe, Mark Green, Mark Ryan, Brian Field, Anthony Darmody and Cathal Ryan now from the last day. It's a worry, but they have got the win, and as well for Shannon Rangers having to go through 3 keepers, I suppose, and Danny Ryan ending up in goals at the end of the game was a funny enough game how that ended up. Rathmore came out the blocks, John Moynihan just scoring goals for fun at this stage, 4 in the club championship.
He's always good for a goal, isn't he?
Yeah, 6 so far between club and county championship this year, and he's just flying it. And Cathal Ryan and Shaco Sullivan, I mentioned that they clashed clash heads.
Lengthy
delay, but both players appear to be fine from what I'm hearing, and it's good, always good to hear. Shannon Rangers responded, good scores from Rob Stack and Jack Kennelly, but I suppose Shane Ryan, the outfield player himself, he's the fifth top scorer in the championship, kicked a couple of before half time, and Rathmore actually had a 6-point lead at the break. Rangers, they were pulling back a couple in the second half, Patrick Moynihan got the goal, fed from John, and got the goal for Rathmore around 5 minutes into the second half. And I think I mentioned to William Casey, he made a couple of big saves, including one in the 38th minute from a Jack Kennelly effort, and huge for Rathmore to get over the line. They held on to their advantage. Rathmore, they kind of had a 3-point lead or a 6-point lead, but Rangers got their goal in the 60th minute. I think it was Liam Guiney who got it, and they loved it, goal. And but it always seemed, though, whenever Rangers might have built a bit of momentum, Rathmore would come back, and so they did once again. Rathmore got another goal late on to win the game. I think it was Kieran Collins who just waltzed through the defence. And yeah, they'll be delighted with the test they got from Shannon Rangers, because it was a good Shannon Rangers side. We were impressed with them all year, and they've croaks again, and can they get over the line this time is the big question.
The one thing about Shannon Rangers, we'll talk after the break about the game, John Kenny, but the one thing that surprised me is Pat Driscoll came out and did he say there was there 10 or 11 18-year-olds on it?
Yeah, he went with youth policy this year, got the buy-in, got the performances, and even the last day, what you'd like is an Arkell man with Shannon Rangers, when they were beaten, they never give up. Mm-hmm. You know, they were 6 points down at half-time, you'd say they're going to...
All the games they played in the Championship, while they were beaten twice, they weren't beaten in the sense that they were run off the field. I mean, they held in there, even at times when the teams got purple patches against them, they found endeavour to come back again and get a couple of scores, and they kept at it.
Yeah, they kept at it. They worked hard. Typical of a team managed by Pat, never give in. Mm-hmm. Brought on substitutes. They made the difference. He wasn't afraid to use the bench either. And, you know, great performance, but you'd have to say Rathmore, like Andrew said, they were the better team. Mm-hmm. They were a little bit ahead all the time.
Was this for a club in them, like?
Was this for a club?
Yeah.
A good club is better than a good district, maybe.
I think so. You know, they were, and their leaders played really well. You know, Paul Murphy, he was centre forward. Mm-hmm. He went back as a player.
He's been playing outstanding.
Outstanding stuff. Shane Ryan, he kicked some great scores. Sean Murphy from centre back. Yeah. Deneen from wing back. You know, John Moynihan, of course, again, and James Darmody.
Yeah.
He's a really effective game. He led off some great ball with the left leg. Very impressed with him. Like he said there, he outlined how many players were out through injury. There was no excuse for him. They went on and got on with the game. Serious injury to Cahal Ryan and Jack O'Sullivan, and we wish him well. Yeah. It was a big clash.
Yeah.
And it had an effect on both teams for maybe 10 minutes. But, you know, Cahal Ryan was a huge loss to Rathmore around the middle. He's a big player for them, but they rallied well, and they got some great scores, and John Moynihan was incredible above. You know, he's an eye for goal. He was unlucky with another one that came off the angle of the crossbar and the post, but a great win for Rathmore. But Shannon Rangers went down fighting, and a lot of pride put back into the jersey in this campaign.
You'd be happy with that. I mean, that's what the campaign for Shannon Rangers is, particularly when you're fielding that amount of youth. I mean, it isn't about winning the championship. I know you want to win the championship, but you have to make those steps year in, year out. And they got their win at the start. They had two performances. They've played three very competitive games in the championship. But none of that will count for anything, John, if it isn't continued next year.
Yeah, you have to build on that. And, you know, you're coming from a listening to people maybe out the north side is you're not going to win the championship, and why should you bother? But I think that thing has been dispelled by Pat Driscoll.
You need to change that mentality.
These young lads have come in and they've won stuff. They've represented Kerry, and you could see it, the Evan Boyles looking, the Luke Rochfords and the Adam Seagals and the Rob Stacks, like, and the David Mulvilles, like. There's no baggage with those guys.
And they're going to learn from this. I mean, they need that experience. That's why they need to be in the championship. They need to gain
this
that experience.
This is top-tier competition, so that's where these fellas will... They should be playing.
They should be playing. Absolutely.
Well, hopefully they'll be playing there. Rathmore, of course, are going into the quarterfinal playing Crokes, but we'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee. From the sidelines to the stand. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, before the break, of course, we were talking about Rathmore and Shannon Rangers. Just a word on Rathmore as well, Liam. I mean, will they be delighted they're in the quarterfinal, or will they be sitting at home tonight saying, God, how did I fall in here?
They'll be delighted to be in the quarterfinal, because...
With so many players injured and they're facing the Crokes.
They're facing, and I suppose they won't fear the Crokes. They're the one team that they don't really fear. And to be fair, if you look at Ratmore when they played East Kerry, they didn't fear you. So they're a tough bunch. They're a tough bunch out there. They've been punching. I think punching above their weight in for a lot of years. They have a lot of good footballers. You know, they're, I suppose, probably up there in the top four, top senior clubs in Kerry with the last maybe 10 years. You know, so they'll be relishing having a crack at Crokes, because they're going to be going in as underdogs now again.
Underdogs again. Text coming in. I don't. Do you know if there will be a pay at the gate option for Cairns East Kerry game? Pay at the gate.
I think so. They've been at all the games. Yeah, they've been pay at the gate.
Yeah, sure. I know where the next question is going, but he didn't send it on the text. It was like, if I can go into that game, and do I stay for the ladies' game? But we're not reading that out, and I'm not going down
that
road.
That's above your pay grade, Donald.
That's above my pay grade. And don't be looking for snow in the middle of summertime, where there is none. And of course, that's leading on, as I said earlier, the ladies, and we'll go through the fixtures there again, people looking for the times and all that crack. We'll go through there. A game that possibly will go down as a bit of a disappointment for one side anyway. 18 points to 1, Dingle and Milltown Castlemaine, Andrew.
It is quite mad, no, yeah, to be honest. I suppose a small bit of context. I suppose Milltown Castlemaine were without Killian Burke, an injury with Lane O'Connor. He was down with injury for a lot of the championship, and conditions also affected. It was always going to be an uphill battle, but I don't think anyone expected that margin in the game at the weekend. Dingle winning 18 points to Milltown Castlemaine's 1. And I suppose doubts of Dingle to be poor after Michael Ganey's wedding were put to bed fairly quickly. Milltown Castlemaine actually got the first score in that game. Ian O'Connor got a free, but then 18 unanswered points from Dingle, and they led by 8 points in the break, and the writing was on the wall, really. I suppose if you're to look at what won the game for Dingle, I thought Barry Den inside and full forward, I thought he was superb once again. He's really causing havoc inside there.
The place where he played against South Kerry as well, I mean, they have moved him into the square. I mean, is that a plan B, or is it at this stage a plan A, Andrew?
It could be a plan A, and I don't see any reason why they should change it at this stage. I mean, it's working for them. I mean, why change it? Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's working for them, and it'll be interesting to see, will they continue it? But they probably should against Temple now. And yeah, he's causing havoc inside there. I think Paul Ganey as well, it was his best performance in the county championship so far. He had 8 points, and his fingerprints were just all over that game. And Billy O'Connor in midfield again, I mean, if you can keep Barry Dan inside, you need to have a strong foundation in midfield. I thought Billy was fantastic. He prevented Milltown from gaining any momentum really in that game. As for Dingle now, Temple Now next will be a much tougher challenge, obviously. They're a team that's never beaten Temple Now, and they'll be full of confidence after getting 2 wins, and even in this year's club championship they lost just 1 game by a point to Rathmore. So when they lose, it's never
wiped off. John Kennedy, that must be a tough dressing room when the game is over, coming championship 18 points to 1. Not the Dingle dressing room, obviously.
Yeah, it's tough to be at the end of a drubbing, Donald, and we've all been there. There's nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. You're looking for excuses, and, you know, it's just, I think it says more about Dingle than about Milltown in a way, because we spoke about Milltown coming up from intermediate, finding their feet, and, you know, there's no place to hide in County Senior Championship. Dingle were being questioned after Midkerry. A lot of question marks about weddings and stuff going on, but these guys have been together for a bit. You know, they're a resilient bunch, well organised, and, you know, led by Paul Ganey. We were talking earlier on about the guys missing for Ratmore and for club, but Dingle, a litany of injuries, notably Tom Sullivan. He hasn't been mentioned by the management team. You know, I've heard interviews before and after. You know, you get on with it. That's part of football and part of sport. A real drubbing, to be fair. As Andrew said there, look, Killian Burke and Ian O'Connor, two marquee players, and Ian is scoring-wise, Killian work rate and ball-winning, missing. But even if they were on firing in cylinders, I don't think they'd have... Mm-hmm. It might have been closer, but Dingle, there was only going to be one winner.
Yeah.
Mighty performance.
Is this a case, Liam, of Dingle being absolutely outstanding, or maybe Milltown were only in first gear? I mean, I know you're going to say somewhere in the middle or somewhere between it, but I mean, 18 points, good scoring, no matter who you're playing against. And I suppose Dingle probably coming off the back of that maybe a shock defeat against Midkerry, I don't know. I mean, they started 100 miles an hour that day, and their engines cut out, and Midkerry came back and beat them. But they've 2 good wins now in the tank.
2 good wins, and their training camp out in Spain did them no harm either, so they're kind of refreshed. But yeah, Milltown, you'll be disappointed with Milltown. you know, 1 point in a county championship match, 6 points the week before, you know, struggling to get scores.
Isn't that the crux of it? It's the struggling to get scores. Is the thing, because obviously 6 points. Oh, again, I suppose they were playing East Kerry as well. I mean, it wasn't that. But is that the gap? Is that the genuine yardstick to say Dingle, county championship team for the last number of years, Middleton Castlemaine, an intermediate team who were finding their way again in that championship. Is that how big the gap is?
Yeah, and I suppose, look, Donald, we said it here, I think it was 12 months ago, had we 12 senior teams in Kerry? And we just said we hadn't, really, to be honest. Yeah. We don't, you know, and maybe, you know, it proved it kind of, again, the weekend, that I know it takes time when you come from intermediate up and stuff like that, but there is a big step there. I think Dingle used all their experience with Max and stuff like that the weekend as well, and they kept the scoreboard ticking over. But the 1 point is the thing, like, that you'd be thinking, if we put another 12 team out, you'd really score more than 1 point.
It's the 1 point, so...
It's the 1 point that really stands out.
The dropping in sense. Because I remember in St. Michael's Filemore, we went up from intermediate and we drew Field Rangers and we were all delighted and we all went off in buses and everything and we packed the whole of Listowel.
Yeah.
And up we went and Eamon Fitzmaurice and Paul Galvin and Kennelly and the whole lot. They absolutely wiped us off the floor. They probably won by 20-odd points that day. And we ended up playing, I think, Curragh or some easy crowd like that. You know, we only got a result after. Then the next year
we won that game.
That was your last time winning. But then the following year, we had that Dr. Crokes absolute blowout where Gooch was on the video for scoring. He scored, you know, more goals than Cole Palmer in a couple of minutes. And he was flying and the whole lot. So it does take a bit of time to readjust back into senior level. Is that the kind of message that Middleton Castlemaine will be speaking with their players, or is that the kind of tone that you need? Because you can't hammer the players. I mean, God almighty, I mean, they're putting on your jersey for you. I mean, I know there's a few people today and there's a couple of comments in that we won't, I have no intention to read no comments giving up about players and not showing up for their team, because they do show up. This was just a perfect storm, was it?
Oh, storm, Donlan. You know, they beat Spa in a very competitive game a few weeks ago, and you know, that was a bonus, I think, from an outsider looking in, and the likes of Parry.
And funnily enough, the reward for beating Spa was East Kerry and Dingle.
You see, what a reward.
Wasn't much of a reward.
But there was a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. The likes of Parry and Gavin McKinnon, David Roach, you know, Gavin Horn. These guys did really well.
Brendan Casey. They have the players.
They have the players,
but like that, it was just, I think, like you said, it's the 1 point that really stands out in everyone's thing. We know they have the good players, but it's just that little figure kind of highlights it a bit more.
It does, okay. Dingle had 18 good points.
And like I said, they used all
their
experience.
They win the county championship. Giving you a chance now to revise your Crokes love.
No. I'm still going to stick with East Kerry. They're my number one. Crokes
were number one.
No. But Crokes, Dingle, then never anything much between the two of them.
Yeah.
So now you'll be.
Dingle, I won't say Dingle picked the draw themselves, but if you were going to pick a draw and you're looking at the other teams, obviously everybody's saying, oh, Temple No. That could work for Temple No's advantage as well, because, I mean, they're the kind of team that, while everybody wants them, they're not a team that you can easily beat.
No, they're not. They're a lot of quality around the field, playing really well. Another team that, like, maybe they mightn't like saying this, but punching above their weight, they're really competitive.
Yeah,
but they have five Kerry seniors as well. That's
correct.
Gavin Crowley isn't a Kerry senior anymore.
And Sean Sheen's a fantastic
Sean Sheen.
Exactly. And the Crowleys are playing very well up front for him as well. So they have the players.
I think one of the things from this championship so far is the county players. The main county players are playing really well. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Tig Morley, you're talking about Adrian Spillane, you're talking about Killian Spillane, then you go to Dingle. Paul Gainey is playing the football of his life.
Yeah.
Leading by example, in a different role, maybe playing a bit deeper. Jason Foley for Shannon Rangers. Yeah. This is really positive, because we were here last year and the year before saying the county players weren't showing up. Was the year too long for them or whatever? It's totally different this year. Tony Brosnan for Crokes.
It tends to be a narrative, isn't it? The county players, you couldn't pick them out, and you can't see them, you can't spot them.
It'd be nice to see other fellas kind of put their hand up as well to join these fellas, wouldn't it?
I think that's what the county championship is.
That's what we're looking for.
Other fellas to put their hand up. Yeah. Okay, plenty of hands up between Mid Kerry and Kinmare, and the most famous O'Shea in the Kinmare household isn't it, Shawnee?
Yeah, Dara getting the goal for Kilmare over the weekend. Unlikely goal scorer, but hence he did get the goal. But
he took it well, didn't he?
It was a great goal. It was a great left leg. Left leg. Fed from Shawnee as well. And mentioned Shawnee, he was top scorer in the championship, 318. And he's flying it as well as another county player standing up for his club. It was the pick of the weekend, we said that. And it lived up to the hype. And a good win for Kilmare against finalists of the last 2 years, Mid Kerry. It was a litmus test for they're standing in the championship. I thought Kinmare they had to work really hard for their win, because Mid Kerry came out the blocks the better side. It was a great first half. Kieran Kennedy, he was just unmarkable. They got a nice lead after the first quarter. Kinmare had it brought back to one, but that man Kieran Kennedy got a goal on the end of Keith Evans, a low shot, and Kieran Kennedy fisted it into the net. Great judgment by him, to be fair, and they led by 4 at the break, I believe. Kinmare, they needed to come out the blocks in the second half to save their championship, and it didn't look likely after the opening couple of minutes, because Mike Breen got a point early on, and his presence was really felt throughout the day. And they had their goal chance, which did come back to bite really. Kennedy was denied. It was a great save, to be fair, by Fitzgibbon, and you kind of sensed that was a huge moment in the game. Mm-hmm. Because only 8 minutes later, Paul O'Connor had a penalty for Kinmare, and he slotted it home. And Mid Kerry, once again, they hit 3 unanswered, but then again, we mentioned just there earlier, Kinmare got the crucial score, Darragh O'Shea getting the goal. It was Darragh O'Connor who sent the high ball in. He loves sending a ball into Shawnee O'Shea. We've seen it all championship. Shawnee found his brother Darragh, and Darragh slotted the pass Coffey, and it was a level game once again. Kinmare added a couple, they led by 2, and I suppose the talking point after the game, which is always unfortunate, is was it a penalty or not in the last few seconds of the game when Mid Kerry were on the counter. Sean O'Brien found it, his intercounty teammate Michael Bree. He was brought down inside potentially. Of course, the ref has no benefit of the replay in that situation. Would people have argued it was a soft pen if it was given, or was there definitely contact there? I'm kind of on the fence about it, which is a great thing to be.
Stay on the fence, I'd say.
To be fair, I thought it was great resilience by Kinmare. They were 5 points down, and another big test versus St. Brendan's. It just doesn't get easier for them, but it'll be interesting to see, are they tired now or are they battle hardened?
Yeah. John Kennedy, will Mid Kerry be so disappointed to let this game go? I mean, they were in the driving seat, they were in charge, and something just cut out.
Yeah, they were in charge. It's a strange one, Tannerly, he's been honest with you. And I suppose maybe before the game, Garrod Evans, Derek Cleary and Darragh O'Connor were late withdrawals.
But that said, Kieran Kennedy was flying in the first half.
Absolutely flying. Absolutely. Got 1-3, played really well. But Kinmare are another team, and we're repeating ourselves maybe here tonight. You know, they really get the best out of what they have.
But Shawnee O'Shea is a man mountain at the moment.
He's incredible. But I think even more so, Liam, we spoke about it last week, Shawnee O'Shea is playing outstanding. But their defence as a six, they're playing really, really well together. There's no fella isolated. There's no fella taken to the cleaners. They work really well. And the likes of Darragh Crowley looking, Darragh Shea, James McCarthy, Darragh O'Connor, you know, they're really cover for one another.
And they never gave up yesterday?
Never gave up. A great attitude. Never gave up. And I think on a day when Paul O'Connor and Stephen O'Brien didn't hit the heights, others did. You know, Kevin O'Sullivan contributed a couple of points. Jack O'Sullivan was impressive when he was introduced. Mm-hmm. And again, their wing forward, Halsey, did really well for him. You know, they'll be tough to beat.
Yeah.
They're always difficult, well organised. And when you're Shawnee O'Shea, you know, in the form he's in, and he was probably overshadowed by his brother at the weekend, Darragh.
Kick.
You know, but he's really impressive from wing back, working really hard, and a great victory for him.
Couple of comments in on that game. I suppose we'll talk about it. How did the ref not give a penalty to Mid Kerry after Mike Breen was tripped in the square? Mike Breen should have had a penalty. A lot more contact made on him than there was for the Kinmare penalty. And it goes on and on, and I have about 6 of them, and it's all about the penalty. In real time, did it look like a penalty?
No.
Okay, so you're
I'm on the same fence that Andrew's on.
But it
didn't. It didn't. It, like, his leg never. If there was contact there, it was very minimal.
What took him down?
He kind of, if we watch, as you saw a replay of it, he was kind of losing control of the ball.
Yeah.
No, and conditions were greasy as well, so I'd say his momentum kind of took him. Now, maybe he was anticipating contact.
Yes.
Maybe there was slight contact. But he did talk to the umpires as well. You know, so usually an umpire would have seen that kind of plainly, and he would have said, so from my view, I didn't think it was a penalty.
The other thing about that game that impressed me about Mid-Kerry, they were flying away. Okay, everything was going grand. Next thing, the penalty arrives. It's back level. But they got the next 3 points.
Got 3 points, yeah.
At their ease, playing good football. Again, it looked like this is the team that's going to just kick on. You're the doctor. Why?
Yeah, you would wonder, and it was the same the week before against Dr. Crokes. You know, that little killer instinct wasn't...
That last quarter against the Crokes.
Yeah, it wasn't. And that's why I fancied Kilmaier to win this one yesterday, because there was something in Mid-Kerry. I just didn't see that little instinct in them, you know, that would kill off teams. And they were in cruise control yesterday, but they just couldn't kill him off, you know, that kind of a way. And Kilmaier just kept poking away. But with the players that Mid-Kerry have, and I go back to your earlier comment, was I think they will be disappointed. You know, I think this is the game that Mid-Kerry probably left after him. Now, credit to Kilmaier, they never gave up and they came back. But throughout the game, Mid-Kerry were probably the better team. But it's like everything, if you hang in there long enough and you stay at it and you get a bit of luck and you keep going, the wind can turn. And that's what happened to Kilmaier. They got the penalty, then they went down the 3 points again, and then they got Dara's goal, no, and then was it Kevin O'Sullivan, and then the sub Jack O'Sullivan came on and kicked the point, and it got him over the line.
Yeah. I thought Kevin O'Sullivan was very impressive.
Very impressive.
As a midfield option. Yeah. I mean,
he was up against Sean O'Brien and Liam Smith, who were two good midfielders as well.
Yeah.
The night only in Dingle game that they played, it went extra time. You know, that's the kind.
Yeah.
They didn't drop the heads after that. They're back again in the quarter final of the senior championship.
And they were only sucker punching that.
Correct.
At the very end of it.
Yeah.
Myself and Liam would know about sucker punching.
A lot of sucker punches.
Yeah, congratulations on Gael. Took the Cahill Cup there. The goal in the 19th minute of injury time. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace. Breaking down the weekend's sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now we're talking all things Garvey's Kerry Senior Football County Championship. Before we go on, we'll talk about the quarterfinals coming up now. We'll preview them as well. Andrew has been very, very hard working over the last number of weeks. Andrew, you actually have the top scorers. Will you take us through the top 10 scorers of the championship?
From player for...
Oh, don't overcomplicate it. Green flags, white flags.
Right foot or left foot. Top scorers. First, Sean Ishe from Kinmare, 318, 8 from Freeze. Second, Jack Kinlilly of Shannon Rangers, 20 points for him. Tony Brosson, third, 213. Jack Savage, fourth, 212. In fifth, the keeper for Kerry, Shane Ryan, with 114, which is a mad, really. Owen Hassett, joint with Paul Ganey, in sixth, 113 for Owen, and 16 points for Paul. Paul Walsh in 7th with 112, and joined with him is Keen Tobin with 2-9. David Clifford, 111 in 8th place, and a nice few in 9th and 10th. Killian Spillane joined with Paddy Clifford and Dylan Ganey for a combined 13 points in 9th. And in 10th then, you've Cormac Dillon, Adam Barry and Kieran Kennedy, who in total the three of them add up to 12 points.
Yeah, and the most impressive thing about Kieran Kennedy, obviously it's impressive with Sean Ishe, he scored 3-18, but he's the only fella in the top.
Pass the ball, but you need a fella that wants to hold on to the ball and maybe take the chance. But I suppose the one that stands out for me there is Shane Ryan.
Mm-hmm. He shouldn't really, because he named him as corner forward and the team's a championship last year.
We always kind of thought it as maybe a bit of a laugh that we play him out the field with the green and gold jersey. But do we look at it seriously? No, is he another Kieran Donahue?
Well, he's in the mix with Sean Ishe, Tony Brosson, Jack Savage, David Clifford is in 8, Killian Spillane, Paddy Clifford. He's playing county championship. Yeah. He's playing off the field. There's no easy games.
Yeah.
And he's keeping away.
And not only that, it's his hands. It's his play. It's his passing. He has everything you want for a good mobile full forward. A big mobile full
forward. He's won 14 scores, right? Take away the freeze. Okay, that's a given. And one mark as well. He's won 5 scores from play.
Yeah.
That's not bad going in county championship, no matter where you are on what side of the field. Tony Brosson obviously up there with 213 as well. I presume he's going to add a couple more to that. And then Killian Spillane down the back with 13. Paddy has 110. Dylan Ganey, 27. What we are seeing, John Kennedy, is recognisable names who should be scoring are delivering.
Yeah, they're the marquee players. They're the guys you'd nail down. Look, and if we go through them there from Shawnee Shea right down to Keith Evans, you know, Luke Crowley, all those guys, they're scorers. Like Liam said, natural scorers. They're the guys, when you're on the sideline watching a game and you see them getting the ball, there's an anticipation that they will score. And they should be scoring, and they are scoring. And we won't forget, though, they're the players that are being marked and earmarked to be marked very tightly in a championship game,
yes.
And they're still scoring. So that'll tell you, you know, sometimes they're double marked even, and they're still coming out with those scores, which is very impressive.
Yeah, big shout out as well to Dan Goggin, the Gael, 2-5 he scored in what has been a tough season. John Minan, 2-4 of course for Rathmore, he can add to that maybe, and Evan Cronin with his 10 points as well. Luke Crowley down the back, he's a guy who could jump out, he's 1-4 scored so far, he could have a big say in what's left the championship as well. And another guy who's impressed me, even though he's not going any further, is Keith Evans, 6 points. I thought he played really well for
very energetic
Kerry over the weekend. And that goal that made Kerry score, you know, that
it was a great kick out.
It was a fantastic kick out. Yeah, well picked out.
He just lost the ball, but it suited him because he miskicked it for the point.
Yeah, ball in over the top. Yeah. Forward follows in the ball. Bang, it's in the back of the net. And hopefully
it was a great ball from Sean Coffey.
As well, yeah.
Super kick.
Yeah.
But Keith has been very stylish. I like he's kind of, he goes to goals. Yeah, he's direct. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he's direct.
Okay, St Brendan's and Kinmare. Quarter final. Kinmare, are they the unlikely lads to be in the quarter final? Do you know, maybe at the start of the year, you said if they got a good run, they'd probably be there. St Brendan's, a lot of people are saying St Brendan's are still the dark horses outside the big two. Can St Brendan's win this? Should St Brendan's win this?
I suppose when you're looking at players, yeah. They should be winning this with the names that they have and the players they have, but they're coming up against a team that we've seen now in the last couple of weeks. There's that warrior bit of thing in
them. So is this going to test?
I think this is the best game of the week.
Brendan's mettle as such that you know have the big names, but if the gel isn't really sticking,
they'll be punished.
Kinmare are going to find a way somewhere around you.
This is, look, we're quarter final stage now, so the competition is heating up. So whoever you meet, you're going to be up against it. And if St Brendan's don't come out with their, as I say, with their socks pulled up and ready for action, the Kinmare could put them to bed very easily.
David Moore now says his socks pulled up.
Yeah. They're the fellas around to pull him up.
They'll pull him up as well. Yeah. Defending champions, of course, East Kerry and St Cairns. John Kent, I know you can't go back in history and you can say, you know, there's a bit of bite in this, but there is a bit of bite in this one.
Yeah, there's no doubt there is a bit of bite in this one. And, you know, East Kerry, I think they'll win, but they'll get a battle from Cairns.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Do you expect that?
I do. I expect them to battle well. And, you know, there's some clashes there that you'll be looking forward to. Liam said earlier on, Brian Leonard and David Clifford, maybe, you know. Paddy Clifford, who's going to take him up? Luca Broston, playing very well in the half-back line.
In the middle of the field, it'll be a good test now, yeah.
Sean O'Connell, this is a big day. You know, he's been mentioned there, look, by a lot of people as being a potential player that Jack will look at.
Mm-hmm.
This is the business end of it now, and this is the place to show it. And he's consistent.
Yeah. So this is, I suppose, from a Kerry selector's point of view, this is where you go and all of a sudden you have the soldiers in front of you and you want to know, you know he's played well so far, you know he's played 2 or 3 games, but can he handle the player he's marking? Can he handle the team he's playing against? Has he, I suppose, the style or maybe sometimes even just the mentality for it?
Yeah, this is it. There's no doubt about it. And this is the place from now on. It's knockout football, and we're hoping that they'll be, it will go to another level.
Yep.
There's a bite, and this is East Kerry is to lose. I think East Kerry will win, but St Cairns won't go down without a fight.
Crokes and Rathmore. No, I suppose.
Kerry derby.
A derby. Is there anybody going to put 5 euros on Rathmore to win this?
Probably themselves.
Like a fit Rathmore, and I mean a fit when they have all their soldiers. I mean, it's incredible the amount of players
they don't actually have.
Like most club teams can miss a player or two players, but I mean, you're rejigging a half-back line, you're rejigging a full forward line, you're rejigging your midfield now, and you're coming up against a team who, you know, really are...
Farm club team.
Yeah.
Don't know. So, look, Rathmore are really going to be up against it the weekend at the way Crokes are playing. But do I think Rathmore, their big boys are playing well. Paul Murphy, Shane Ryan, you know, they have a bit up the spine there, up on the middle of the field. Now that they'll give Crokes enough fit, but I think Crokes are going to.
John Kennedy, how will Rathmore beat Crokes? What do they need? I mean, obviously you're going to say maybe a couple of fellas have an off day or whatever it is, and Tony miss a bit. Well, which can happen. I mean, it is county championship.
Happen,
I mean, you know, there's games where there's just no answer to the way the result has gone. But what do Rathmore need to go well for
I'll
them?
I'll be honest, Donald, I thought Crokes might have been caught by Mickey a few weeks ago. But they weren't. And I think that laid down a marker. I think even for Rathmore, with what they have available to play to their best, I don't think it's good enough to beat the Crokes. I think that they're going really well. They're one of the favourites for the championship. You know, everyone's talking about East Kerry, but Crokes are you know, they're a formidable outfit. They're playing a nice brand of football. They're young lads. The mix is there. They're playing some great stuff. And like Tony Brasson's on fire. But look, David Shaw, the last day came in. Michal Burns is there. You know, Mark O'Shea on the middle. The loonies, you could be going through them forever. I think that, you know, Crokes
and,
are the team.
And they won't be caught wanting either, Crokes, because if we think back to Michal Burns' interview that he did that time, and T.G. Cahir, you know, he mentioned the Bishop Minehan Cup, how high they regard this competition. You know, so they're not going to come into this game with their eyes closed, or they're going to be ready. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough battle for Rathmore, but Rathmore always die with their boots on anyway, so it won't be a walkover. They'll kick more than a pint, Donald.
Oh my God, fair play. You have to go back to the point. Right, final game, Templenoe and Dingle. Quick question. The teams that have won two games and had the week off, are they in a better position than the teams that have played a couple of games on the trot?
If you get a few knocks or niggles, tis a great advantage. But when you're on a run, you'd like to stay on it. And I think that, you know, some of the club teams with tighter numbers, the injuries can take a toll. But, you know, Dingle have bucked the trend, in fairness. You know, they had a lot of injuries, and they had other side shows maybe going on that we were talking about and other people were talking about, but obviously it wouldn't been talked about in the Dingle dressing room. And, you know, they put down a marker at the weekend, again with that performance, with that score, and I think it said more about them than it did about Milltown. But they're coming up against the Templenoe team, not lacking in confidence, County men playing really well. Sean Sheehan add him into that as well, and you know, they'll be difficult to beat. But I think Dingle will share it.
The one thing that Dingle can do is they can score goals.
But they haven't been scoring in the last couple of weeks, though.
Well, but Dylan Guinness 2-7. He's only ready to rock and roll, and but Tom Leo has won. Yeah. They didn't need to score a goal. I'd imagine they could if they want. Killian Spillane, 13 points. He's 7 frees. Crowley, Tyke Morley, of course, is on the goal scoring list now as well. The same question that John had to answer. What do Templenoe have to do, Liam, to win this game?
Well, I suppose, first of all, they need a big defensive show, you know, because you have to try to stop the game. He's nullify him. Like you said, Dingle have all been renowned as goal-scoring teams, and they always seem to get him in the big occasions as well, in the big games, so that's something they'll have to do. And if they do that, they'll be well in the game, but they'll need their big boys in likes of Killian, Brian Crowley, maybe Gavin Crowley around the middle, you know, to chip in for on the scoreboard as well. You know, Tyke Morley, he'd been pulled down for a penalty, and he'd have to score a goal. So he's starting to come from the number 6 position as well. But
he started life as a forward, actually.
Yeah, but the Templenoe defensively, they'll have to start if they can put up a good performance defensively, and try to hold the Dingle forwards. I think they'll be in with a shout. But at the way Dingle are playing, I think it's Dingle's to lose.
Okay, we'll make it tougher this week for you. St Brendan's and Kinmare, who and by how much?
St. Brendan's by 2.
St. Brendan's by 2. God, I'm waiting with all your Shawnee Shea talk. John Kennedy?
I'd say maybe 3 or 4 by Kinmare.
Oh. 3 or 4. We wouldn't give them the 4, no? We just go with the 3 or 4, right? East Kerry and St. Cairns.
I'd go East Kerry by 6.
Okay.
East Kerry 5, I'd say maybe. They'll win anyway, you know.
Okay, good stuff. Crokes and Rathmore, Liam.
Crokes by 8.
Crokes by 8. And Gavin White scored 2 goals, yeah?
Yeah.
We can ask him there when he comes in there in a second. Rathmore?
Crokes by 6.
Oh, God almighty. I'll have no friends when I go back to work tomorrow. Templenoe and Dingle?
Be tough enough for now.
Yeah.
I'd say Dingle by 3.
Dingle by 3.
Dingle by 4, it said, Donald.
I
won't agree with you.
What a mighty man.
He disagreed only in one.
He disagreed in one. If there was one of those games that you think you could be wrong in, which game would it be?
I think it'll be the Brendan's Kinmare.
So you think Kilmare could beat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and John?
I would agree with that, yeah.
The Brentons, yeah. Did he not agree with Tullamore?
He went for Kilmare, Brent, but I think that is the game, but Kilmare, that jumps out of the page. Probably.
Andrew, very quickly, you have 30 seconds. Brendan's Kilmare.
Kilmare.
Okay, very definite. How much?
2.
Okay. East Kerry, St. Cairns?
East Kerry by 8.
Oh my God, by 8, okay. Crokes and Rathmore?
Crokes by 6.
6. And Templeno and Dingle?
Dingle by 2.
Okay, and if we haven't given all the losing managers plenty of ammunition here for the dressing room to turn over those results, hopefully we have. After a break, of course, we'll be talking training with the stars in the company of some of the great stars themselves. And of course, we'll have Gene Sullivan along as well. We'll take the news. Now, training with the stars in aid of St. Francis Special School in Beaufort takes place next weekend, of course, Saturday the 5th of October, when the juvenile teams get a chance to be trained by some of the biggest stars in the game, with all the money raised, of course, going directly to the school and provision of services, resources and facilities for the students. And it's a fantastic cause, and it's nearly an annual event now at this stage, and we're delighted to help and support this. I suppose it's a worthy cause in one sense, but it's a great day out as well, and I have to declare that a couple of years ago my own young fellow was down there as well, and he absolutely enjoyed the whole day, and the burgers as well after. I must mention the burgers were a big treat. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Keith O'Brillacon. I keep messing that up. He's the principal of the school, but he's the Cork man pretending to be a Kerry man. Gino Sullivan is here as well, the main organiser, and we have Gavin White in studio, and Niamh Carmody will chat to us around 7:15 on the line as well. First of all, Keith, congratulations. Things are still going well. Every year you're coming in, the event is getting bigger and bigger. Tell us about the school for those 4 people that don't know what goes on and all the great work that you do.
Yeah, of course. Good evening, all, and thanks very much for taking the call. And it is a massive event. I suppose the school, as most of your listeners will know now, we're here in Beaufort, and our demographic, our pupil profile is pupils that have moderate and or severe to profound intellectual disabilities. We'd have a lot of pupils here that would have life-limiting conditions, that would have physical disabilities, with autism, and a range, I suppose, of other needs. And you could say, really, like, we do have many of the most vulnerable students and children in the county and even beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. And incredible work. I mean, it goes on night and day, and obviously it is like everything. It doesn't pay for itself. So you have to kind of run big events, and obviously you've done a great amount of cycling around the Kerry during the summer as well for us. A lot of people that I know helping out as well. But this is a huge stable event as well over the last number of years. I mean, formed by Gene, of course, it's 5 years you're at it now at this stage. And even when you're finished, I mean, people are talking about we better go to that next year and the whole lot. What's it like to be involved in an event where you get the biggest names in the sporting world, in the football, in the ladies' football, in the camogie, in the hurling as well, and they'll all come down and they'll all help on an event like this?
Well, as you know, and I've said this before, I suppose the lady in studio with you there, Jean, won't want much or any of the attention, but the credit for everything that you've outlined is down to Jean, I suppose, for me. As principal of the school, it's very humbling to watch these, you know, these stars that are in our community, but that are on the television and that are, you know, involved in All-Ireland, playing for your counties. Just things that we all dream of as a kid, and even middle-aged adult wouldn't mind throwing on the county jersey for a while. But, like, the work that has gone into it is Jean. She doesn't take for much help at all, to be honest. And it's a privilege. Like, I use the word privilege a lot since I've come down here. But the genuine sense of what it means to be privileged. We have the likes of Jean there organising the event, the county players, the parents, the volunteers, people down in Kenmare, that really go above and beyond, you know, and it's very, very humbling. But, you know, we're very, very grateful. Like you say, things don't run themselves, and I suppose we've been lucky enough here this year that we've taken on an extra class. And what that means is that we're able to provide places for more vulnerable children. But every time you provide another place, there is an additional cost to it. And you'd say, you know, the department maybe should and do give a certain amount, but definitely not enough for us to provide exactly what we need to meet our kids' needs, you know. So we're very, very grateful. It's an event that I think, I've said it before, it's an event that I think any county would love to have her, any player and any child in any county to imagine to meet the likes of Gavin White there and others, inter-county players. So that's a dream in and of itself, like, it's fabulous.
Absolutely. I tell Gavin that there. It's a dream to meet you, Gavin. this is probably the most uncomfortable part of Gavin's year, you know, when he sits behind with his arms folded and the whole lot. So we'll leave him alone for another couple of minutes. Jean, you're a superstar, this. I mean, this is 5 years. Where do you dream out of the event? Where did... Sitting at home some evening, watching Coronation Street, and you said, this is a good idea for a fundraiser. Where did you get that idea?
Well, I suppose we tried the whole Kearns thing. We had the blitz, the weather, it wasn't in our favour. I was very disappointed walking away that evening because I thought, yeah, this is... Do you know? So, I don't give up. I kind of sat around at home for a few days wallowing in despair because of the way the weather went and everything that day. Look, I know it wasn't our fault, but I said there has to be an easier way around this. And I suppose I just decided, you know, we had Dancing with the Stars. Why not do Training with the Stars? And I was able to get on to Gavin here, Shawnee at home in Kinmare.
Was Gavin the first phone call? Was he the first star you thought of?
He was. I suppose he was one of the first I messaged on Instagram. Anyway, that time I suppose I didn't have his direct number. And in fairness, there was
thumbs up.
Not a bother. I'll be there absolutely. So.
Yeah. And it's kind of snowballed from there because I'm delighted you have Gavin because he's there since 2019, which is phenomenal. Because I mean, the commitment to come back year after year, and there's so many different events on as well for a lot of these players. And you know,
There is a course, and I'd say when they see my number coming up in the phone, there
it's easier to say yes than no, isn't it, Gavin?
That's exactly it.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Come here. How's your small man?
He's Moishe. Great farm now, thanks be to God. He's delighted to be back in school. The summertime, he had the weather was shocking. Yeah, so it was a tough.
There was
summer
no real now, summer for home weather, was there?
Yeah, not really, no. And yeah. We did get a new swing set at the start of the year. We were very optimistic that it was going to...
Oh, it wasn't tested out at all, was it?
It was a bit in, but it didn't get enough testing, really.
Right. Sure. So it's still there anyway?
There it is, yeah.
Absolutely. Actually, we can get that working as well. Gavin, I suppose there's a lot asked of inter-county players, even from the training side of it and getting yourself there, and then you balance work with it and the whole lot. But then every now and again, an event comes along, and whether it is for your club or district or whatever it is, and you say, yeah, I like to be involved with this. I can give my time for it. I understand. What's the draw for you for Training with the Stars?
Yeah, look, I suppose, as you said it there, when opportunities come up like this, it's for a great cause, obviously. And just to know that I can play my part to, I suppose, raise vital funds for a very special school. It was obviously a no-brainer. It's been 2019 since I first joined. I think it was the first time I came in. It doesn't feel like that long ago, but they've been great days, to be fair. All the kids come in, have just a bit of crack during the day, a small bit of training, a bit of crack, and vital funds being made for the school, which is great.
And the event itself, I mean, it's other clubs visiting on the day, and a Kerry player will take charge of the cones and move them around the place and take the couple of footballs and show the passing drills and all that. And that's basically what it is. It's a bit of fun. And somewhere along the way, the next Gavin White is probably in that line somewhere.
Yeah, pretty much. Look, that's exactly what it is, I suppose. I'm lucky enough to... I'm teaching myself, so I do a lot of these stuff on a daily basis anyway. But, yeah, look, we take in teams. There might be two or three players there, do a couple of drills with them, have a bit of crack, play a few games, and they usually go away with a smile on their face, which is what the day is all about, really.
Mm-hmm. Gene, do teams repeat every year and they say, God, before we leave, we want to come back? Or have you new teams? Or have you a lot more teams? Or
they do, and I suppose in May and June, you're getting the texts from clubs asking, are we running it again? It's their end-of-year blowout. Mm-hmm. It's a great day out. They come down, they get to meet their superheroes. They are actual superheroes.
Don't be building up too much. I mean, the county championship's on next week. I mean,
I think for me, like, if I had this opportunity back when I was a child come in and do training with the Kerry team, Kerry Mins and the ladies, I would have been in my element.
And that's the beauty of it. You're giving kids that access. You know, I mean, look, when we win the All-Ireland, the cup is everywhere, and, you know, there's years we don't win the All-Ireland, but the players are still Kerry players. They're still trying as hard as they are. They're still our stars as such. And, I mean, you need that access for them as well. I mean, the selfies, I suppose, is all selfies at the end of the day, and pictures and the whole lot. And that's part of the day too.
Yeah, and All-Ireland or no All-Ireland, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. Sports stars, they give so much to the county and they deserve respect.
Yeah,
you know, and they are like what they're giving back to our school as well. I mean it's unreal. I mean, we have raised so much money over the last few years on account of this event. Yeah. And it's not because I'm there.
I saw a nice check at the end of last year, Jean. Do you want to share the amount that you've done? Just because, I mean, it blew me away when I saw it. Right, I thought, oh, do you know, they'll make 6 grand, they might make 10 grand. At a push, they made 15. But he got very close if he didn't top 25,000.
Yeah, it was 25,000. And the year before, it was 18.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and every penny we make, you know, helps every child that goes through the doors of St. Francis Special School, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a wonderful school. There's such a family feel about the school. They're definitely Michael's second family. I mean, they're some of the most vulnerable children in the county attend there. And anything you could do to enhance their lives, you'll do it, like. And mm-hmm. I suppose I'm a special needs parent, and I see my own boy there. He's flourished down there, absolutely flourished. And you can, he's so happy running out on that bus in the morning. But, like,
and it's some bus trip.
Yeah, he takes no notice. Sure, he's happy.
From Two Sisters to Beaufort.
How
long is it?
I suppose he leaves about 7:20 and they're in school for 9 o'clock.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's 45 kilometres, but sure, he takes no notice.
But he loves being, and of course, he has his own little community within that community
as
well.
He does.
He has his own friends and pals. And
I have my own community within the community, because I've met some fantastic families that mm-hmm. are attending the school. And, you know, like, and I suppose I said this last year, that being a special needs parent can be a very lonely journey, because you do, you know...
Not everybody understands, unless they're in the situation, maybe.
100%. And then, you know, you meet people that are going through the same thing you're going through, and it's have a chat over a cup of coffee, or have a chat over a gin and tonic if you had the opportunity. And, you know, it's great to have the support. And I suppose I'm in a position that the money for the training with the Stars last year, it went to help the families over the summer break, because the children, you know, when they're out of school, you know, it can be challenging times for the families. So we were in a position, the school, and we were in a position that we were able to offer hours to the families over the summer.
That's
and
fantastic.
SNAs and people like that came in and they helped their children over the summer. And, like, it really, really made such a difference.
And that's
so
important, because,
families.
I mean, sometimes people say you raise money and where it trickles down. And we'll talk a bit more after the break with Keith, maybe. I'll ask you that question when we come back after the break. When you hear the amount of money that's been raised I suppose, a fundraiser that's kind of kicking off now at the moment, but it's the benefits of that, Keith, and we'll talk about that after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Breaking down the weekend's sporting action, this is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Just before the break, of course, we're talking to Keith O'Brailacon. Keith, will you, for the love of God, tell me, how does that surname go?
It's Brailacon. You're nearly there. Every year you're getting a little bit closer.
I'm getting closer, yeah.
I would say to junior infants there, clap out the sounds, you see, and just if you clap it out, the junior infants can do it, you'll manage it as well. Brailacon.
Jeez, I'll be letting know first thing tomorrow morning. It's an unusual enough surname. I haven't seen too many of them around the place. Come here, Keith. The importance of the money, we discussed it earlier, and Jean mentioned the value and how far you can actually spread it and how many people you can actually help with it is probably the main reason for asking the question.
Yeah, so I suppose, look, I mean, we are a school, firstly. There's a fine line here, I suppose, between then education and also healthcare. But on top of that, I think we place an emphasis on the kind of the chaplaincy role and the community and understanding. Look, like I've said, you know, in the past as well, the Morton Jeans, Michael, my youth is in school here. So I appreciate, like, that, you know, when you go... When you have a child with special needs, that sometimes, like Jean said, it can be lonely. But what often happens, say my small fella Paddy and my little girl Sally May at home, when they are there in the summer, they can join into the cool camps and the Beaufort GA camp, and they can do gymnastics and taekwondo. And the list goes on and on. A lot of the times, the children in our school, they don't have those options. Their needs are so great. So, in fairness, Jean proposed the idea last year, and it was fabulous that the money would go towards supporting the family. So it went to directly supporting every family and every family that wanted and needed and maybe could identify. You see, one of the problems, I suppose, there, we do an extra 2 weeks in the summer, and like I'd love to be able to provide more, that any cent raised goes directly to the kids. You know, it's you can be sure that if you give a tenner, we're very, very grateful, and it will end up benefiting some of the kids or the families in the school.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the stars, or now nearly international superstar, is Niamh Carmody, Kerry captain, All-Ireland winning captain. Congratulations on your All-Star nomination, Niamh.
Oh, thanks very much.
There's a amount of good stuff happening for Niamh Carmody this year.
There is, yes. I'm sure it's been a great year for all of us involved with the Kerry Ladies. So there's another 14 nominations there as well gone out today. So fantastic for the team.
Just you'll have three or four tables above in Dublin. You won't know who to sit with. Come here, Niamh. I mean, what's it like for you to be involved in this? I mean, obviously we asked Gavin at the start and he was the word was kind of a no-brainer. St. Mm-hmm. Francis Special School in Beaufort. I mean, we're talking about the children and you heard Keith there on earlier and the money that goes to support the parents. I presume with all the events that you go to, this is one of those ones that you will get a kind of a nice feel about things and say, I'm giving something back here.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's a wonderful thing for myself to get involved with. The GAA is all about community really, and like this is a big part of the community of, I suppose, me, Kerry, and all over Kerry really. And it's just, I suppose, I'm just delighted to be able to play a part in it, and I'm looking forward to Saturday to meet all the kids as well. So it's just a great initiative to be part of, and hopefully we get a good old turnout on the day.
Mm-hmm. Are you good for training, or are you better at training other people?
I'd be good for training. I don't know about training other people, but we'll give a go at it anyway, and I know it should be an amazing day.
Yeah. Come here to me. How important were trainers along the way? I mean, obviously, a lot of kids will come to this. They're coming from their clubs, obviously. But, they're going to meet Niamh Carmody. They're going to meet Gavin White. They're going to meet a number of other Kerry stars and even stars further afield as well. And it might be that 10-second or 3-minute drill or that 5-minute moment meeting somebody like yourselves, that might actually inspire them.
Yeah, look, all you want to do, I suppose, is someone in the public eye now at the moment with all our success that we've had this year is to just kind of leave a positive impact on everyone that you interact with and hopefully inspire them to kind of drive on in whatever they're enthusiastic about. And yeah, it's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask you, of course, the two lads, and it'll be just the one question on it anyway, but I mean, like, the amount of time and effort that the two boys have put in after 5.5 years to kind of, I suppose I won't say bailout, I mean, they came to the end of the run, or, everybody picks their own time or the right time to leave and the whole lot. How did you deal with that news last night?
It was very emotional, I suppose, for everyone involved. They've been with us now for the last 5.5 years. As been mentioned, like, we were, when they took us over, we were fighting relegation and for our senior status, and it ended up with us winning the All-Ireland and August 4th there. So, like, I mean, the amount of time, effort that those two lads have put in, and not only the two of them, just Amod and Cass as well, has been extraordinary. And look, we'll be forever grateful for everything that they've done for the Kerry Ladies. They're incredible.
And of course, you went down to Waterville with your current championship. Southern Gales, kind of, I suppose, did they owe one back to you maybe or whatever, but themselves and Desmond's in the final on Sunday. How do you see that going?
I think it's going to be a good game. It should be a great game. Both teams are star-studded, really. It should be a great final, and I'm looking forward to it, really. I can't really pick a team at the moment. Both of them had great, like, championships now, to be fair. So it'll be an exciting one to watch.
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely. And you'll be watching it this year, but you'll be back, no doubt, next year. Niamh Carmody, thanks very much. Look, you've been a fantastic captain. One training drill that maybe the little people at home are listening to, what would you like to see them do before they get you on Saturday?
Sure, I suppose as a forward, I'll be hopefully concentrating on kicking scores. So maybe if they get out and kick a few points on their local football pitch before heading down on Saturday, and we'll tip away at a bit more then as well.
Fair play. You can show them the long distance one. Gavin White, I mean, look, there's kids, I suppose, all over the county. They're all excited. They're counting down the days, Gene, to get down. And, is Tadhg Morley going this year? Maybe Tadhg. You're going to say he's not there now, of course, aren't you? Tadhg is surely there, is there, in football. But, like, you have a lot of fellas on your doorstep as well from other clubs.
Yeah, I do. I'm sure I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
The gang I have below.
So. Who's there? Who's there beside Gavin White?
I have
Keep the Crokes for the company.
Jason Foley, Ronan Buckley, Darren Moynihan, Killian and Adrian Spillane, Gavin Crowley, Aidan Crowley, Dermot O'Connor, Sean will be there in the morning for a spell. Kinmare Shamrocks are playing it.
Yeah.
3:30.
Shawnee messed it all up, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't. I'm wishing Shawnee the very best of luck, and I hope that they they're victorious on Sunday. Shawnee's been a great
ambassador from day one. Well. Absolutely. So, and there's some wonderful photographs with Shawnee over the years as well.
Absolutely.
With all different kids and the whole lot. And I mean, he enjoying the whole moment of it. Gavin, do you get to enjoy this? I mean, you're meeting up with an awful lot of your Kerry team. There's nearly all the Kerry team there. You're not missing many more now, to be fair. But I mean, when you get up in that kind of social occasion, is there a bit of crack involved? Are you partnered off with somebody? Is it backs and forwards training, or do you put all the backs together, or do you just put the Crokes fillets together, or do you just put the Kinmare fillets together? How does that work?
I know, it is a great crack, in fairness. I suppose reflecting on it there, like, I suppose we just go on and we go down. I suppose when I was a young fellow, I would only be delighted to come to an event like this, to go training with a few, I suppose, your idols that you would look up to. So, you know, it's a great occasion, I suppose. I suppose some of my Kerry teammates there, I probably wouldn't have seen them since we finished up with Kerry. I suppose I'm more against each other on the football, which is a different occasion there. But no, it's a great day out. It has been over the last couple of years, and I have no doubt this weekend will be the same again.
Yeah. Are they nice events to go to with your Kerry pals? That you look, obviously you're in such a tight training camp, and I mean, I suppose the oxygen is sucked out of you. The season is over. You're left back to your club. I presume some people kind of are WhatsApping each other and chatting away more. Probably not the same. But an event like this, I mean, does that kind of bring you all back together in that moment for that? And it, like you said, you're not marking him. You don't have to go out and mark Jim or Connor the next day. I mean, the worst thing you'll have to do is decide where to put the cones, maybe.
Yeah. Look, I suppose it's different. I suppose certainly in that way. I suppose on top of it, it's the sense of giving back to the community. I suppose, and I suppose giving back to the younger generation to try maybe to see what the next Kerry player is going to look like, sort of a thing. Like, but yeah, no. Look, we've been touching bases over the last couple of weeks, and I suppose this weekend will be the first time in a couple of weeks since we played together. So, yeah, it'll definitely be a change of occasion. But looking forward to it, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Another big occasion, and quickly off point a small bit, sorry, I have a Crokes for the cot in the corner here. Rathmore the next day, your friends, neighbours and rivals, and some, dare I say, cousins as well, maybe?
I suppose another tough battle for us. We've had tough battles at Rathmore down through the years. I suppose this year we got one over them over the club championship, but I have no doubt they'll be going for us next weekend. So really looking forward to that one as well, in fairness, in the Fisher Stadium as well. It's our first game in Fisher Stadium this year, so... looking forward to it. I've no doubt it'll be a very tight game again.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We won't ask you who wins it, because obviously the two boys have said he's Kerry, so you know, I'm still on the fence. Gene, finally, name some of the clubs that are coming down. Some of the familiar faces and the old faces.
So we have Churchill, Kilcoman, Myvan, Dua, Rathmore, my head is half gone.
You have a lot of clubs anyway.
We do. We've Austin Stack, Spiel.
And what I love about it is the way you structure it. Obviously, they can't be on the field at the one time, the whole lot, but you structure it amazingly. I mean, when the time we went down, we were told park in Super Value and get the bus down, the whole lot, and you had all that organised, you had all the people down, and you went in and you knew what gate you were going through, you knew what time you were booked. I mean, the amount of help you get beside yourself.
I do have an amazing background team. They're just fantastic. My own club, two sister Oxen, my brother Mike Tim, he's been a great help as well. And we have a great lineup of hurlers as well on the day. And Fanon O'Sullivan has been a great
Kinmare's
ambassador
great
there
hurler.
For me. He is indeed, without a shadow of a doubt. He's been on the phone there. We have Stephen Binnett coming on the day, Cahill Barrett, Ryan Taylor. Sorry, the nerve.
These are big name hurlers,
they are
actually.
Indeed. And we have Rachel McCarthy from the Kerry Ladies, the Camogie, Katie Lynch, Kerry Ladies Camogie. And then we have Saoirse McCarthy from Cork, Pamela and Katrina Mackey from Cork also, Rachel Harty, Amy Thompson, they're all coming down, bringing the Duffy Cup in the day.
Wow.
And like, I suppose this event, then, like the very first slot in the morning is for the children of the school.
Yeah.
And it is so fabulous to see the children out with the heroes, you know, and getting their photo opportunities, and for the families as well. Like I said to you there earlier, you know, it's very hard to get to the Kerry games, or you mightn't always get to Croke Park or, you know, something. And Saturday is like our own little Ireland. You know, everybody's there. They've the one, everybody's shouting for St. Francis Special School. It's fabulous. Like, every club is out there in their own colours, but they're doing something so great for our school. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, you know. And, like, sure, the support that's out there for us is just heartwarming. Like, as a special needs parent, it's just unbelievable. It's so nice. Like, we are, there's so many people I have to thank. The Kinmare Shamrocks GAA Club for giving us the grounds for the day. Give you a tattoo, sis woman. Thanks very much.
That's a win, isn't it?
And that's the neighbours for you. Like, there's no rivalry when it comes to...
Tattoo sis gives a Kilgarvan.
Sorry?
Would you give it to Kilgarvan, or would you give it to Kinmare if they went looking for it?
I would, of course. Absolutely, no matter.
Right. You're all very neighbourly down there, aren't you?
We are. They're great. And like I said, like Michael's like a little celebrity. I mean, you know, as soon as I mention things for the school, you know, and Sean Regan and the committee there and Kinmare Shamrock's fabulous people, I suppose, to every one of the intra-county heroes that are coming along in the day, and the ladies as well, Niamh and Anna Gallivan, Amy Foley, and I mean, you're just unbelievable. You have no idea how much this means to me. Gavin, you've been on board with us since 2019, and you're just amazing, and I can never thank you enough for all you've done for Michael and our school and everything. And like, it's just, you do enough for the county, and it's not like you're like the soccer players that you're getting, you know, as I paid every week and things like that, and to come a lot, turn around and give up your time for us is just, it's unbelievable. And I mean, like, credit where credit is due. They're outstanding.
It's the side that most people don't appreciate.
No.
I mean, obviously I go to the All-Ireland final and I wish Gavin the best of luck, but there's a sneaking time there. Gavin might drop the ball and might roar something at him and the whole lot. And then all of a sudden there's 25,000 of me there, you know, and the whole lot. And it's the one thing that you don't grasp, that, you mean, there's a humanity side to it as well. I mean, obviously you go the next day and you're working, you have to go to work, and you have all your friends to meet and the whole lot. And there's that side of it. And I suppose it's the one side we don't appreciate our players probably as much as we possibly should.
No, and I suppose, and I've said it so many times on the Training with the Stars page, they're mighty ambassadors for the club. Mm-hmm. Their clubs, the county and the GAA, because, I mean, the time and the effort they put into, you know, going training, the football matches, you know, there's no social life for how many months of the year, really, you know, and they're so dedicated.
And the girls,
the women, the same, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think I could be you know, dedication to something, you know.
But you're a great mother, and you're doing a great job looking after Michael, as is Keith looking after, is it Paddy and Sally May, are they the two smalls there?
And Aoife, his wonderful little girl in our school, yeah.
Yeah.
And he is, and look, do you know, as a special needs parent, you will.
Yeah.
You'll do anything for your children. I'd move Cairn Tool tomorrow morning if I thought to it, do something to help my Michael and the children below. They're worth, oh my God, like, they just deserve so much. And you know, look, I'm so, like I said, so grateful to everyone for the support, to our sponsors, the background team, Kinmare Shamrocks, Gavin here, he's, like I said, unbelievable. And look, please come out and support us on Saturday. And if you can't come on Saturday, there's a link to the I Donate page on...
I was going to ask that very quickly. If I don't bring a team the next day and I want to support you, can I just go on, I donate and give you,
you
what,
can,
10,
and
20,
look,
whatever?
We have, I mean, obviously, if people want to come along on the day, there is a charge in the gate, but you'll get a fine burger, as you said earlier.
Well, the burgers were savage, yeah.
The burgers are unbelievable, and they'll be equally as good on Saturday, and it's a bit of banter.
And all we need now is the weather.
Absolutely, and I'll ask everybody to throw out the old child of Prague.
Yeah, absolutely,
and
hopefully she stays up, or does she fall down, I don't know.
I think if you've won without the head, it's quite lucky. It's luckier than... the one with the head.
Right, we'll get Gavin White with that out, so he obviously has one without a head. Listen, Gavin, thanks very much. Steve Carmody, fair play to you. Keith as well. Quarticus again on such a fantastic event. And Jean, look, there's no words to say anything. Do you know, I mean, I suppose down in Two Sisters, they'd say you're sound.
Sound, yeah.
You take that, would you?
I wish.
That's high praise.
Look, I hate praise. I don't do this for praise. It's for the children. Like,
we'll say it sounds so.
To sound mighty.
Mighty. Oh my mighty. God, she's moving now. Mighty. And Gavin White is mighty as well, and the best look against Rathmore. Niamh Carmody, the very best look. And again, congratulations once again on your All-Star nomination, and the other 14 as well, 15 Kerry All-Stars, nominated All-Stars. And hopefully we'll get a good amount of them as well, maybe a 7 or 8 or a 9 to be nice as well. And the best look to Southern Gales and Castleline Desmonds, of course, on Sunday, and also to MKL Gales and Scarty Glen in the intermediate game as well. We'll take a break.
Tara's Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Killarney Racecourse presents its season finale with not one but two action-packed race days taking place on Sunday 6th and Monday 7th of October. Whether you're a seasoned fan or first-time visitor, there's something for everyone at Killarney Races. Sunday offers thrilling action over the jumps with an all-national hunt card, while the Speed of the Flat takes centre stage on Monday. Experience the excitement of horse racing at Ireland's most scenic racecourse. Tickets are selling fast, so book yours today at killarneyraces.com. kerry.ie.
In the interests of fire safety during the winter months, Kerry Fire Service asks members of the public to visit their elderly neighbours living alone to make sure they are not in danger from fire. Check if they have a smoke alarm in the home and that it works. Are heaters, electric blankets, other electrical goods and wiring installations in good working order? Do they use torches or flashlights at night instead of candles or matches? Gaurav Ma Osfer Gaur.
Radio Bingo on Radio Kerry. Five chances to win, all for just €5. There's €400 to be won each weekday, and Friday is jackpot day. The numbers are called out five times each day at 7:50 a.m, 11:10 a.m, 1:45, 3:30 and 10 to 5. You can also find the numbers on radiokerry.ie and our Facebook and Instagram pages. Radio Kerry's Radio Bingo, your chance to win and support four local charities.
Our local councils provide a wide range of services that make life better for all of us. From world-class libraries to keep us in the know, to grants and funding to help businesses grow. For information about the hundreds of services your local councils provide, learn more at localgov.ie.
Need to refurbish your bathroom this October or November? Contact Simply Bathrooms 4 Park Business Centre, Farn 4. Visit our 4,000 square foot showroom and view our extensive range of stunning bathroom settings. Our professional and experienced plumbers, tilers, electricians and carpenters can make your dream bathroom a reality. So call to Kerry's Bathroom Refurb Specialists, Simply Bathrooms 4 Park Business Centre, Farn 4.
From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
No, it's almost October, and of course the National League basketball season will be getting underway with all Kerry interests, of course, focusing on Garvey Warriors, Flexicum Killarglen, Clarnie Cougars, and my next guest, St. Paul's, who will not only have one team in action, but will have two teams across the season in action, one in the Ladies Super League, and of course one in the National League for their men as well. I'm delighted to have on the line Lynn Jones, who I hope isn't announcing her retirement, because the last time she was here, she was a bit of an iffy, in the Walsh, of course, who knows all things ladies, and a new vice tea, Simone O'Shea, who I'll talk to in a second. But first of all, Lynn Jones, is this season, 39 or something?
Season 39? not quite, but we're close, all right, at this stage.
Yeah, it's very funny because my good friend Kieran Shea, originally, I suppose, Drummond people out of Carthavine, and now he's over in New York, he sent me a text today wishing you the very best of luck, and he found an interview that you done with Wishy Fogarty in 2012 on Terrace Talk.
Yeah, I remember it. He came down to school, actually, Rishi, I remember that.
Did you give him any more information than you might give me?
One of the questions, we'll see. No, we had a great chat that day. I wish he was inside for about an hour and a half. Yeah, after school one evening, I remember it well.
Come here, Lynn. Last year was all about, I suppose, the last number of years was getting out of, I suppose, Division 1 into the Super League. You're there now this year. I presume it's a huge step up in class. It's a huge step up in training and maybe the personnel that you have. Has there been many changes to the team and the squad?
Yeah, I suppose we have the core of last year, you know, that Oakley Fair did last year, but we have three new professionals in. We have Simone coming down from Cork, and we have a new Spanish girl, Coral, she's working as an au pair in the town. So there's a good few new faces arrived to the team this year. And as you say, with the step up in the league, you know, in the Super League, and the level it's going to require, we're glad to have all the new faces on board, really.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's a place that you wanted to be, because when you kind of reformed, I suppose, the ladies section of St. Paul's, it was the one thing that you wanted to be was kind of in the Super League, and you kind of took baby steps along the way, maybe in the National League to get there, and you didn't jump over the fence maybe 2 years ago, but you got there last year, you pushed on really strong. Do you want to continue that good form fairly quickly, because it's a very competitive league?
Yeah, as you say, I suppose 2 years ago we came up slightly short, and then the plan last year was, you know, to get over the line and to get up to Super League. You really would want to hit the ground running, but I suppose, as James pointed out tonight, our first four games seem to be, you know, the top end of the Super League, so we're under no illusions it's going to be tough, but I suppose after October you'll have a fair idea of what you're dealing with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have Liffey Celtics coming to town next Saturday night, who were thereabouts last year, followed by Glenmire, Colester, and another Dublin team. So you're meeting the real heavy hitters early on, so we'll know what we're about after the month.
Yeah, of course, they're all the big names in the game. But I suppose the reality is that's where you want to be. Simone O'Shea, you've been there. You've seen some of these up in action. How's life in Killarney?
Oh yeah, I'm loving it now. I'm a Kerry woman now at this stage. But yeah, my mom used to play down here as well, and she loved it. So I'm the exact same anyway.
Yeah, and of course you've been very modest. I mean, your mom wasn't just any ordinary basketballer, was she? Let the listeners know who she was and how good she was as well.
Oh yeah, she was brilliant. Sir, she'd be my favourite player anyway to watch, but. A very humble woman there, so she wouldn't say that herself, you know.
Yeah, and of course, basketball in the family is huge as well. Obviously, with your mom, your late aunts as well. Were you one of these people that were kind of exposed to the game, and you know, it was always going to be basketball?
Oh, it was always, yeah. It was always basketball for me. I'd say it was out when I was six there with my mom and my cousins and everything. My own brothers used to play as well, so we were always out the back. Since we were young, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
What's it like being settling in? I mean, you obviously know Killarney, so you're running up the road a small bit. James Fleming, good draw, of course, good coach.
Oh, he's brilliant, yeah. I'm loving our sessions now, and it's probably the most now I've enjoyed basketball in a long while, even just being down a few weeks with the girls and everything, so I can't wait now for this season.
Mm-hmm. The couple of trainings that you've had with them, I mean, what has impressed you?
I think me and the girls give her all. So they're great sessions, like we're all after each other and everything. It's definitely the carry away as well with the girls, with the football and everything. So yeah, I think we'll have a great team this season, and we're blending well together now as well, and the team bonding and everything. So yeah, I think
it's crucial.
Have a good season.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we wish you the very best to look for the season ahead as well, and we'll certainly catch a few games with yourself and Lynn. In the Walsh, plenty of games. Lynn kind of stole your thunder about how tough the games were, but an awful amount of home games as well.
Yeah, the season starts now next Saturday night. Liffey Celtics, they won the league in 2018 and 2019, so that's a huge, huge game. They're coming fairly stacked with Irish internationals. In the following week, you've Glenmire, who Simone used to play for. They won the league in 2022. And then you have Colester, coming on the 26th of October, the bank holiday weekend, and they won the league last year. So you have four league winners there in the last 6 years, so it's going to be hot and heavy, but as the girls say, they're prepared very well for it, and they'll have a good idea where they stand after the first month.
Mm-hmm. And it's great to have, I suppose, big-time basketball back in Killarney. I mean, obviously, that history with the men and with the women as well down through the years at various stages. But what does it mean, you know, to get people back on seats, back in, supporting and meeting, kind of, I suppose, a new range of heroes and a new range of, I suppose, great ambassadors for the sport in the Utility Trust jersey?
Yeah, and you know, it's great winter sport, I always say. I mean, look at the weather yesterday. You wouldn't put a cat out in it. You can go to the basketball game now in warm seat, Killarney Sports and Leisure Centre outside. It fit 800 to 1,000 people in no problem, all nice and comfortable. You can pay for your seat at the door, and you're looking at top level women's basketball. And in fairness to the girls, they put in a huge effort in the pre-season, and what we'd hope would that the people of Killarney and Kerry, because there's girls from Knocknagosh and Lorraine Scanlon and Easton Leaf and Scarty Glynn, they're playing as well. So we'll be looking for the people of Kerry to come out and support the team next Saturday night and a couple of Saturday nights after as well. And just even if it's only to get a taste of what top-level basketball is all about.
And it's the only Kerry ladies team, of course, in the whole National League, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. They entered the National League 2 years ago, and as Lynn said, they got promoted last year. So, yeah, it is your only chance to see top-level Super League women's basketball.
One of the things Lynn Jones, I wish he said in the interview, was he said something like, you know, congratulations, Lynn, you were top scorer the last night. What are the chances of you being top scorer again?
I have a different role these days, and it's not about scoring for me. If I can put anything in to help the team, it'd be great, but I don't think those words will be said again too soon.
That's all right, for sure. You play a crucial role. Lynn, what's it like to be in, I suppose, the training centre with all these, I suppose, new players coming through, younger players coming through? And like, what's your new role? I mean, it's obviously the experience role, but do you enjoy that as well?
Yeah, I suppose, look, I'm beyond the twilight of the career at this stage. Like, so I'm really in bonus territory now. I'm loving it, I have to say. You know, the girls, they work really hard. They're great ambassadors for the game. They're surrounded by, you know, there's winners in there from the Brendan Martin Cup a couple of weeks ago. It only helps you to raise your game. And they're keeping me young, they're keeping me fit, they're keeping me on my toes. And, like, I suppose, for me, I'd be trying to bring my experience to and, you know, just keep a level head and just try to bring things together, you know. It's not going to be plain sailing every night we sit on the floor, you know, and there's going to be knocks and there's going to be, you know, maybe coming from behind at times. But, you know, a kind of a calm word maybe and an encouraging word to the younger girls, especially, let's say, it's going to be some girls' first time playing Super League. We were there 20 years ago and some of those girls were only toddlers, you know. So I suppose if I can bring any bit of encouragement and kind of a canvas, maybe that might be my new role going forward.
Fair play. It's still a very good role. Listen, Lynn, we'll leave yourself and Simone go because after a break we're going to talk to Mika and we keep end on the line. The very best of luck, Simone, and the very best of luck to Lynn. And no doubt we'll have you in a couple more times between here and the end of the season as well. Fingers crossed that everything goes well. That, of course, is Utility Trust St. Paul's ladies team. And, of course, they're starting their action, as are all the other clubs, of course, next weekend. But they are Kerry's only ladies team, so we'll keep a good eye on them. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee. We're being local. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Well, before the break, of course, we were talking St. Paul's basketball and we were focusing on the ladies section. Now we'll change views and we'll look at the men's section, of course. And Michael Blackwell, my next guest, he signed for Scots Lakers St. Paul's, I suppose a couple of months ago now, maybe at this stage, for the 2024-25 National League season. And Michael is all the way from Norfolk in Virginia. You're very welcome to Kerry. How have you been settling in, Michael?
Man, I love it. It's 10 out of 10. The people are amazing. The food is amazing. Everything's amazing.
My God, there's much more we can do in terms of food. Come here, what has it been like settling in with the players and maybe playing a couple of pre-season friendlies?
I mean, every day is a challenge. Every day we're getting better. We take every game just trying to learn from our mistakes. We take the good, we take the bad. We haven't practiced much with each other, but I think every time we practice, we come in with an agenda just to you know, be together, play together, and just to play hard. So looking forward to the season, everybody come and support.
Yeah, it's the one thing about the season, it kind of comes on very fast, and a lot of clubs would have the same to say, you know, that it needs a little bit longer maybe to get ready. But once the games start coming hot and heavy, you'll be picking up. Come here, you played with Arizona Christian University. How did you get on there?
I did. So I went junior college in California, and then Arizona Christian was one of the schools that recruited me. My last 2 years, went to the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 last year. We came up short, but, I mean, that's been an amazing experience for me going to Arizona Christian. I have so much love for those guys, and I still have teammates there, and I call them, I support them, and they support me. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the one thing, you know, Irish fans, we look across and we look at the college games, you know, they're packed, there's huge crowds there, there's great razzmatazz, there's great action. Do you feed off that as a player?
Yeah, of course. We had a very small gym, so and we had a lot of people. We ranked pretty high in the country, so we had a lot of people come to our game. So that atmosphere, just having so many people there cheering us on, I love it. And from seeing old footage of Killarney, there's a lot of people at those games, so I'm just super excited to get the season going.
Yeah, absolutely. Come here, you're no small man, 6'6".
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty tall.
Absolutely. And obviously, of course, that's going to bring its own attention on the court, obviously, when St. Paul's bring in the 6'6" guy from Virginia and the whole lot. What's your strong points? What should the fans look out for? What, do you know, are you kind of the razzmatazz guy? Are you the hard-working guy? Are you defensively strong? If I was giving you your own CV to write in the next minute or so, what is Mika Blackwell going to bring?
I'm all the above. Defense, that's my pride and joy. I love defense. Two-time defensive player of the year last year and 2023. So, of course, I just love defense. I'm a great team player, athletic, just love to get the crowd involved, love kids. So as long as kids are there hyping me up, you know, I'm right there with them. And I'm just a crowd pleaser.
Absolutely. Well, listen, get ready to sign the autographs and take the selfies after the games, because there is a huge huge wing to the club as well, and they certainly go to all the games. Come here, in the Walsh, obviously you flip between both sides and the whole lot. A lot of men's games as well at home?
Yeah. I suppose they're away next weekend on Waterford. And 12th of October, Saturday the 12th, is the first. We're still on our way.
Yeah, keep going. In the,
Saturday the 12th is our first home game against Tipperary Talons. And then the following weekend, we're home to the Galway Titans on Saturday the 19th of October. So both those games are on in the Sports and Leisure Centre. And there'll be again, tickets at the door. You can walk up the door, pay no problem. Plenty seats out there, same as the girls' games, plenty comfort again. And we just ask everyone to go out and give the young team a bit of support, because that's the one thing it is. It's very young. I think five or six players all between the ages of 19 and 23. So they need a bit of support as well too. And the club has put a lot of work into them down through the years with likes Paul Sheehan, Brian Clark, you know, and Tim O'Sullivan. So these guys that need a crowd with them. And once me and Patrick Lennon can get going for them, and Rui Saravia, all the guys in jail together, I can guarantee you that they'll put on a show any night they're out there.
Yeah, and of course that's part of it as well. It is the show. I mean, obviously to go to watch the basketball as well. But basketball is a fantastic indoor sport. And I mean, it's like you said earlier, I mean, there's plenty awful bad nights on the way coming with bad weather and the whole lot. And there couldn't be a better place to be, maybe inside door watching these.
Oh yeah. And come here, when you get, you know, the American players, you know, they do like to express themselves. I've seen Mika play twice now, and he's a very expressive kind of player, and he does like to express himself playing. So it brings an excitement to the crowd as well too, and you know, lifts his teammates as well. So we'll be hoping that we can hit the ground running, as they say, starting next Saturday night at Waterford. But then we've two home games the following two Saturday nights actually, and the ladies are playing before on the 12th. But there's five games in Killarney in October. And we'll be asking everyone that can come out and support both teams.
Yeah. Mika, final question before we wrap up. I mean, Coach Ron, I've met him a couple of times. He's trained an under-14 team there a night or two. Pretty intense guy, you see?
Yeah. It's all love. I work out with him every morning. I couldn't ask for a better coach, a better role model, a better brother. He's like a big, big brother to me. So much respect for that guy. Everything he tells me, I listen, I take it on the chest. And I mean, he's just, if you've met him, you'll see he's very passionate about kids. He's very passionate about his work ethic. He gets up the earliest. He's at the gym first. He's in the gym last. Like he's the greatest coach I've had in a while. So, and I'm pretty sure he'll be a big impact in the community and for the kids that he's helping out. Like he's just an all around amazing guy.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we wish you, Coach Ron, and all St. Paul's the very best to look. And as I said, we also have Killorglin, Garvey's down the road here, Tralee Warriors, and Killarney Cougars as well, the other team in town. And we'll be chatting to them maybe as the season goes on as well. But the very best to look, very best looks in your home game. And hopefully it's a long and successful season, and it's something to look forward to as well, basketball in the evenings. It certainly kind of marks the beginning of winter. And, you know, it's great to have live sport on your doorstep, and you could certainly do a lot worse than go down and support your local club. Mika, thanks very much.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Not at all. We'll be catching up with you as well. So that was it. That's tonight's show. Next week, I won't be here. I'm going to toss the coin inside. I'm going to be keen, or maybe Mary might take over. Mary, would you tear us talk next week, would you? We can't play no music. No, that's definitely not allowed. We'll talk about football and hurling and all that kind of stuff. No, not here next week. Ivan hopefully will be driving the hot seat here. We wish him the very best of luck. Stay tuned, of course, up next. It'll going to be Talks Us with Mary Conroy. Big thanks again to Ivan and Keen this week. And a double thank you for Keen last week, of course, who, you know, we didn't get around. Keen Doherty, fantastic as always. Get out and support a team this weekend. There's plenty of football action. There's ladies football as well. Plenty of county finals on. Get out and support your team. Basketball just around the corner as well. And if you don't, maybe get online and go down there and help out training with the Stars. A big thank you again to all who came in.